You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
What's the prognosis, Fertile Myrtle? Minus or plus?
There it is. Little pink plus sign is so unholy.
That ain't no Etch-a-Sketch. This is one doodle that can't be undid, Holmes Gillett.
Just tell him. I'm pregnant.
Who is the father?
It's Polly Bleeker.
Polly Bleeker? I didn't think you had it in.
I know, right?
Did you see that coming?
Yeah, but I was hoping she was expelled or into hard drugs.
Or a DWI? Anything but this.
I could, like, have this baby and give it to someone that, like, totally needs it.
You should look in the Penny Saver.
They have ads for parents.
Yeah, desperately seeking spawn.
Hi. I'm Vanessa.
Hi, I'm the husband.
This, of course, is Juno.
Like the city in Alaska.
No.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospective. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Kate Parker.
Hello.
And today we are going to be doing the retrospective on Juno, directed by Jason Reitman, written by Diablo Cody, starring Ellen Page, J.K. Simmons, Jason Bateman, Jennifer Garner, Michael Cera, and a whole slew of great character actors. To kick off the show, I like to kind of talk about the Oscar nominations this movie got at the 2008 Oscars. It was nominated for 4 Oscars, had 1 win, was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Director Jason Reitman, Best Original Screenplay Diablo Cody, and Best Actress in a Leading Role Ellen Page. It won the Best Original Screenplay Award, and I know on the Michael Clayton podcast, I said the Michael Clayton script is probably the best scripted movie out of 2007. However, this is a pretty, you know, after rewatching it last night, this is pretty good. So, but with that said, Kate, what are your thoughts on Juno?
I love Juno. Like, she's so relatable. Like, I watched this, like, a few weeks ago, and the first time I watched it was back when I was 14, 15. So it's been about 5 or 6 years. And the comedy is hilarious. And then now rewatching it now as a 20-something-year-old woman, kind of looking at the way this teenager has decided, yes, I will give up my baby because I know I'm not responsible enough. I think that's awesome. I love this movie.
Yeah, this movie, I saw this when I was 13 when it came out. This was still during the time where I didn't go see a lot of the Oscar movies in the theater, so I watched them at home. When they came on Netflix DVD. So, back in the good old days.
You mean Blockbuster?
Well, that too. But
RIP Blockbuster.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Blockbuster. You will not be forgotten.
No.
However, and I saw it, and I liked it when I was 13, but I think I was too young to fully grasp it. Like a lot of the Oscar movies I saw as a teenager. But rewatching it with 2017 goggles and as a 23-year-old male, this movie is a lot better than I thought it was.
My mom actually showed this to me because I had never heard of it up until, again, when I was 14, 15.
Right.
And she's just like, this is what happens when you say you want, because I was always talking about if I had gotten pregnant before I turned 20, I think 25, I said back then, that uh-huh. I was going to give it up for adoption. So she's like, this is what's going to happen to you. Like, if you give it up, this is how bad you'll feel. And in retrospect, yeah, I completely agree with her now. Like, it would be really hard giving up a child. But then again, there's a good ending.
Yeah, and you brought up that the care, this is a good movie about a person who realizes they're not ready.
Yeah.
Or they're not mature enough to handle motherhood. And for me, this movie represents the perfect idea of that, and also what it means to also be, you know, an adopted mother to be.
Yeah.
Because while, yes, the movie does, like, unsubtly say, you know, it wasn't for me, this baby wasn't for me or Polly Bleeker, the Michael Cera character, it was for Jennifer Garner. It was always meant to be her baby in a weird way, in an unconventional way, but it was always meant to be hers. And while it does say that, but you can tell that Jennifer Garner, throughout the film, just even with subtle little actions, she wants to be a mother.
Yeah.
And you just see it throughout the movie, rather it be her playing with her friend's kids at the little playground at the mall, or, you know, touching, you know, Juno's belly, talking to the baby in Juno's belly, you know, and it kicks, you know. It's just little subtle things. And then also what makes it even better is her husband is like, no, I still want to be a man child.
Yeah. I mean, that also, one thing about this movie is it gives you the view of a teenager's eyes and a failing of a marriage. Because Jennifer Garner's role was hoping that the baby would fix the marriage, and it ended up breaking it.
Well, I think in the scene where it's pretty much confirmed, where Juno is there with Vanessa, and I'm blanking on Jason Bateman's character, but when they're talking about, like, how it's going to fix everything, but ultimately it just happened so quickly.
He even said, he's like, I didn't really think that somebody was going to answer on the ad.
Right.
And he's just like, I didn't think it would be, like, so soon. And he's just like, I figured it'd be months or even a year. And life happens.
Yeah, correct. And you just see the marriage fall apart. But what's so great about that scene too is we're still in Juno's eyes as well. We're still Juno seeing this kind of idealized world she wants for her baby to be crumbled, but her coming to the realization that, you know, Jason Bateman's character might not be there, but Vanessa still wants to be a mother, and she still wants to be, and she still thinks that Vanessa could be, and that's kind of the more powerful idea, is that she's getting rid of her man child husband, but she's, you know, having a child that she'll raise.
Yeah. I just think it's very commendable that a 16, 17 year old girl would make this big of a decision and know the consequences.
And on top of that, you know, the movie, you know, says, the movie doesn't pretend that abortions don't exist.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I loved about it. It was just like, I had a family member who used to work at a abortion clinic at the adoption side of it.
Right.
And I would go visit her, and I remember a 16-year-old girl walking in to a abortion clinic, looking around and people looking at you and judging you, still in the abortion clinic.
Or still people telling you weird things.
Yeah. And, like, I remember this family member showed me the video that they have to watch when a baby is aborted. And I'm like, I will never abort. Ever. Yeah. I know I'm not ready to be a mother, so I would much rather give it up to adoption and give it to a family who is ready.
Yeah, and the movie does that perfectly well, of just, like, putting you in this headset of her and understanding, like, why she would do it. Because, you know, for plot reasons, you kind of have to do the adoption thing, because if you get it aboard in the movie. We'll stop, of course. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, going through, so we see, but I just admire that this movie, after watching 50 Shades Freed, where obviously these characters need to either abort or give this baby up for an adoption, I was just so happy to see abortions exist in a movie.
Yeah, it's just, abortions are a very taboo topic.
It is. Because
you're either for it or against it. Like, there's right. There's no, like, gray area.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'm very pro-choice. Like, if...
I as well.
It's just very much like, she chose to go.
Mm-hmm. She chose to go, and then chose otherwise.
And then she decided not to do it, and if not, we wouldn't have a movie, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, this movie shows you that women have choices.
Right, and women also have feelings as well. They have complex emotions, especially as they have to grow up really quickly.
And I liked that Michael Sierra's character was very, like, when she told him, I'm keeping the baby and I'm putting it for adoption, he was like, okay, that's your choice.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, about this movie is, you know, normally in movies, it's, you know, a screaming fit or, you know, or abusive, or the guy leaves, or the parents freak out, and then the dad has to step out for, like, 5 weeks or whatever. And this movie, everyone's just like, the parents are disappointed, but Allison Janney, the mom, she's like, well, we got to get you on prenatal vitamins.
They're supportive.
Right.
Like, the family, because that's how my family would be if anything mm-hmm. happened to me. And I would flat out tell them, like, I'm either keeping it or I'm giving it up for adoption. There's no other option. Like, mm-hmm. that is it. And right. my mom or my grandmother would be like, okay, well, we need to get you into the doctor's office to see how far along you are. We need to do this. We need to do that. And, like, yeah. that's how my yeah. family would be. But I'm all about men having a say, because it's sure. like
and Juno does give Polly Bleeker a say. He just is like, yeah, that's good with me.
Yeah, because he doesn't know what to say. He's a 16, 17, 18 year old boy, and he's just like, wow, I just got a girl knocked up by accident. What the hell should I do?
And he's kind of awkward about everything.
Yeah.
So, well, he's awkward in that Michael Cera way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, that's just the greatness of the movie. Even though there is a scene where Polly Bleeker is going out with a different girl to prom, and of course Juno's like, I can't really go, I'm a fucking planet. And she's rightfully upset because she cared about this person, and they're kind of...
I would be, too.
And, you know, she cared about this person, and she kind of has... And she's living with the consequences of their relationship while he's going off and doing other things.
Yeah, it's just... Again, with the setting, it's in high school.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. they're... Everybody's main concern is prom, or the dances, mm-hmm. or,
uh-huh.
like, sports. And that's his main concern, is the track team, and... wanting to be a normal teenager, even though he got Juno pregnant.
Right. Yeah, and it's just... And that's why, for me, it's a little frustrating when they do get back together.
No, I think it's...
Or I don't want to say frustrating, just a little, like...
Peeved?
It's
just...
Because he's completely... Because for me, he's kind of washed his hands of the whole situation.
Yeah, I can see why you say this, but it's just, in the end, when, after he won the state track.
Right.
And he went straight to the hospital. And then he was there after, because, like, he would have to help deal with the postpartum, which is a whole lot harder than pregnancy itself.
Okay, yeah, that is fair. I was more referring to the scene before.
Understand why you were very peeved, but it's what you do after the fact that really counts.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the movie does end with them kind of falling back in love, mm-hmm. you know, through music, which that's how I think that's how they met anyways, because they were in a band.
I want to see Juno too. They knock it up and do it right this time.
The 10 year later, like, oh. Yeah. 10 years later, she's knocked up.
Family starting.
Yay.
But overall, my favorite part out of all of this is just the family unit. Mm-hmm. It's just Juno's mom and our stepmom and dad are oh so supportive of her. Like, yep. It's hard for a parent to see your teenage daughter knocked up and having to give her child or choosing to give her child away.
Well, it's also hard to see your daughter have to grow up really quickly.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, too, about the movie is also, and that's part of her arc, is growing up to realize that the romanticism of, you know, couples staying together and the romanticism of everything's going to be okay for this baby who is apparently from what she was gathering as she was walking in, was going to have a nice, happy life, you know, upper middle class life with, you know, Jennifer Garner and Jason Bateman.
I mean, she still will with Jennifer Garner. I don't think as much with.
Right.
With.
Yeah, of course. But she has to come to the conclusion that no one's perfect, but that's okay.
Because this movie shows a lot about life. You fall in love, you fall out of love, you fall in love again. You make really hard decisions, whether you like it or not.
And then you live with the consequences of bad decisions.
I mean, it's hard for me to think that people blame others for their own actions.
Yeah.
Which I kind of noticed that Juno kind of did with Michael Cera's character.
Right.
She's like, you did this at one point. And then, again, she realized that she was wrong and kind of made up with him. But still,
mm-hmm.
That's another thing. Like, once you do something, it's your own fault if there's consequences.
Right.
But overall, I think this is a wonderful movie. I would definitely watch this again, and yeah.
It's a good movie. It is a really good movie that holds up very well.
The script is fantastic. It is so funny.
It is, even though I have no idea who talks like Juno. I have never met a person who talks like Juno or any of the characters in this movie.
I haven't either. What does that guy at the convenience store say?
That
ain't no etch-a-sketch. This is one doodle that can't be undone. I love that line.
Rainn Wilson.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Rainn Wilson?
I don't know. He's going to be forever my Dwight.
Yeah, he just kind of came and went.
20 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
But overall, if you haven't seen this movie, I think you should. It's really, it's good because it's not your average movie. It's not a rom-com. It's like more of a dramedy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not a dark comedy. It's a dramedy. But it's...
Yeah.
It's... Just go see it. That's all I really have to say.
I say as well. I have one more question. What do you like better, this or Knocked Up?
Juno.
Okay.
1,000 times 1,000%.
Really?
Really.
Can,
Knocked Up was so stupid.
Can you give us just some basic examples of why you think it was stupid?
It's so unrealistic. Like,
okay.
It's a flat out comedy, and it makes everything seem more funnier than it actually is. Whereas with Juno, it's very like, okay, she gets pregnant. She makes a plan, whereas Knocked Up, it's like, okay, I'm pregnant. Well, now how's what? That my fucking fault?
No.
It's just like they blame each other throughout the entire fucking movie. And with Juno, it's very just like, I know what I'm doing, even though I'm a teenager. It's right. More sophisticated than Knocked Up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. I mean, I really like Knocked Up. because I don't know. I kind of fall head over heels for Judd Apatow stuff very easily, maybe more than I should. I know. Just keep nodding your head. Just keep shaking your head. But I think Juno is the tighter story, because I think the problem that Judd Apatow does have, and you see this as he continues on, is that he kind of just lingers too much on subplots and jokes that really would be better suited in an extended cut or on the editing or on the cutting room floor. So you've heard it here, folks, but I kind of think Juno is the better movie.
Yep.
Which is shocking, because I thought Juno would be like, oh, it doesn't really hold up that well. You know, it's kind of in the 2007 goggles.
You doubted it.
Well, you doubted it. I doubted it.
No!
But, no, I was wrong. It holds up very well, and it holds up very well.
I would definitely show this to my daughters once they get to that age to talk about The Birds and the Bees. Because it's like, this could happen. I'm not going to show the Mean Girls like my mom did. And because my mom told me, if you have sex, you will get pregnant and you will die. That's what my mom told me. And I completely believed her. And I would much rather...
Talk about abstinence.
Yeah. And like, then she showed me this movie and she's like, I'm just kidding. Like 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, this is what normally will happen.
Right.
So.
And yeah, it's a, I mean, other than the dialogue, which the dialogue's not a problem. I mean, how many people from an Aaron Sorkin movie do you, the people like talk like they do in Aaron Sorkin movies or David Mamet movies? So it's not a problem. It's just, you know, again, it's just like in the back of your head, the back of your head is screaming, no, have you ever met a person that talks like this?
It
or has a hamburger phone?
I had a hamburger phone.
Oh, I've met one person that has a hamburger phone.
I was really young when they got me that. But it's just, there are people who talk like that. Like,
I'm sure they do. It's just I haven't met them yet.
Do you want me to start talking like that?
No. Just be your normal. Be normal. I mean, you do whatever you want, but don't do anything on my behalf.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
You know, I think we can wrap it up.
Awesome.
So, Kate, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on KHZ Productions and KHZ Network. And, yeah.
Cool. You can also find me on Twitter at MovieKale. You can also follow the show at The Youth Critic, and you can also follow the channel and Kate at KHZ Network.
Yep.
Thank you, everyone. We will be back with you next week for There Will Be Blood.
You're a part-time lover and a full-time friend.
When this is all over, we could always get back together.
Were we together?
Yeah, we were once, you know. That time.
You think you're really gonna do this then?
If I could just have the thing and give it to you now, I totally would, but I'm guessing it looks probably like a sea monkey right now. We should let it get a little cuter, yes. Right?
Great.
Keep it in the oven.
Fox Searchlight Pictures presents a comedy about life.
Boy, I thought you were the kind of girl who knew when to say when.
I don't really know what kind of girl I am.
And the bumps along the way.
Your little girlfriend gave me the stink eye in our class yesterday.
Katrina's not my girlfriend, all right? And I doubt that she gave you the stink eye. That's just the way her face looks, you know? That's just her face.
I don't know if I'm even ready to be a father.
Hey, big puffy version of Junebug. Where you been?
Just out dealing with things way beyond my maturity level. To know that it's possible that two people can stay happy together forever.
The best thing you can do is find a person who loves you for exactly what you are.
Juno.
Your parents are probably wondering where you are.
I mean, I'm already pregnant, so what other kind of shenanigans can I get into?